Welcome to Have Roots Will Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin Stoltari, and I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. In this series that I've been doing for the last year, we are exploring Les Filles du Roi, the King's Daughters. And each and every episode, we are featuring a individual one and really getting to know her story in order that we can honor them. Don't forget to subscribe. Also, click on that notifications alert. I also have a website so you can see past episodes as well. Have Roots Will Travel is the website.com. And I'm also on Facebook, Have Roots Will Travel. So with that being said, let's get started. Regular viewers know that I produced a video called Les Filles du Roi, the Program 2.0, and that gives you all the insight you need about what your ancestor would have gone through, what the Filles du Roi experienced in France and also on their way here. So have a look at that if you need more insight. This episode's featured Filles du Roi is a lady named Marguerite de Haye. She was actually preceded in New France by her sister, Marie, which we will explore in the next video. But for right now, let's focus on Marguerite and find out what her journey was all about. So all we know about Marguerite is that she was born in 1646 in Rouen in Normandy. Her parents are unknown. So those of you who know Normandy know that Rouen is a very, very prominent place. It's found on the River Seine. It's the capital of the region of Normandy, and it has an amazingly historical story, and at one time was the largest city in medieval Europe. It played a prominent role in both English and French histories from the 11th to the 15th century. Joan of Arc was tried and burned alive here in this area in 1431. So Rouen is totally a, it has such education and culture. It's a remarkable place, but we do not know specifically what parish she came from, who her parents were. We kind of think it's in this area, but it could have been a suburb. We don't know. So we'll go with that for now. Again, not knowing her circumstances, all we know is that she was on that ship, La Nouvelle France, and arrived in Quebec on July 31st, 1670. We don't know her dowry, if anything. Let's find out who she marries. So Pierre Ménard de Saintonge is his name. He was born about 1642. We also do not know exactly where he's from, but we kind of can gather that because Saintonge at the time was a province, which is now part of the Nouvelle Aquitaine region, we assume that that is where he came from. And this is just a beautiful, picturesque part of of the place where he would have been, might have been born. But we do know that he was a plowman and a cobbler. So that much we do know. So let's see when they got together. So Pierre did come to New France as a soldier with the Carignan Regiment, with part of the company that was Saint-Ours. On the 14th of September, 1665 is when he arrived. Reasons we don't have information about exactly where they're from or their parents is that the marriage record is not, obviously they were married, that is Quebec. But we do not have any information other than it is told to us that they were married in Saint-Ours. And this is an actual example of the Première Église de Grand Saint-Ours, bâtie en 1675, which would have been, even after they got married. But certainly, this is one of the reasons that unless we find that document that lists anything, we will not be able to dig a little deeper into their ancestry. So the family would settle in Saint-Ours, which is very common. Remember, he came with the Compagnie de Saint-Ours. And you can see where Saint-Ours is in the square little box that on the map. It's right in the middle. You can see right there, it's off island. So it's really very close to Sahel. But it is along the St. Lawrence River as well. Here's a little history about Saint-Ours. The seigneurie of Saint-Ours was given by Jean Talon to Pierre de Saint-Ours, officer of the regiment de Carignan-Salia. Many of Pierre's counterparts in the Carignan regiment also received seigneuries, notably de Sal and Contrecoeur. The church registry was opened in 1681, and one of the first tenants to receive land was a man named François Pissonneau de Lafleur, in case that is somebody that you are familiar with. This area was under fire from the Iroquois in 1691, and as such, the seigneury grew very, very slowly. In fact, it was not until after 1703 that a mill was even built. So here we have some pictures. The upper left is a bust of Pierre Saint-Ours. We have the map, and then on the bottom left, we have the church that obviously did not exist when they were there, but is obviously, that would be your starting point. And this is just the village as it exists today, and in the middle. And on the upper, on the right, is your manor, the manor of Saint Pierre Saint-Ours, which you can visit. And then we have the 1681 here on the upper right, where it lists 1681 census of New France. We have Pierre Ménard, Cordonnier, Marguerite Deshayes, sa femme. So they were about 10 years apart. Their children, Marie, who's 10, Pierre, 9, Madeleine, 7, Genevieve, 4 years, Catherine, 2, they have 1 gun, and we have 4 bétacons, they have 4 goats, and 6 arpents, about 3 to 4 acres of land. Pierre is that not only is he a cobbler, but he's also a shoemaker, he's also the notary. So, you know what, you got to wear many hats in this area. We go on to have 7 children together. Marie Marguerite would marry François Genineau and have 3 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. She then married Luc de Guire and had 1 child, who made it to adulthood. She then married Louis Gauthier de Landreville and had 4 more children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Pierre married Suzanne Laporte and had 9 children, 7 of whom made it to adulthood. Marie Madeleine would marry Pierre Chevalier and have 8 children, but only 2 that survived. She then married Jean-Baptiste Delpy and had 6 more children, only 3 of whom would survive. Geneviève married Guillaume Payette and had 7 children, all of whom survived. Marie-Catherine would marry Jean de Guire and have 5 children, all of whom would make it. Adrien married Marie-Elisabeth Fehler and had 7 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. François-Marie would marry Marie-Jeanne Charpentier and would have 10 children, 7 of whom would make it. So sometime after 1681, where they were listed as living in Saint-Ours, they then moved to a city called Contrecoeur. And Contrecoeur is a city in the southwest of Quebec. And you can see where it is on that map. I've given you a picture of what it looks like today. Very pretty. And there was approximately 10,000 people living in Contrecoeur. It's about 28 miles northeast of Montreal. And and you can get to it by the Autoroute 30, which continues on to Sorel. In 1672, Antoine Picardy de Contrecoeur, a soldier of the Carignan-Salia Regiment, originally from Saint-Chef, Isère, France, was granted a seigneurie by King Louis XIV. Other pioneers founded the town in 1681, and it is named in his honor. A migratory bird sanctuary is located near the town on Contrecoeur Island. So this is where they moved to. Pierre would pass away sometime between 1693 and 1695. It was an early death. He would have been about 50 years old, an extremely early time. This would have left Marguerite a widow with 6 of her 7 children not married and presumably living with her. She did not remarry. It's extremely likely that she would have been left with enough financial strength to go it alone, and so she did. Marguerite would herself pass away in 1709. When her children, except for her youngest, were all married, and even François would marry her last child, would marry within the year after she died. She left her family when she knew they were all right, an ultimate maternal priority, wouldn't you agree? And this is where she's buried in Contrecoeur. So some more resources for you to explore. We have La Société des Filles du Roi, which is a society that has been going on since 1994. I am a member and I'm also the membership chairperson. Fabulous society. Even if you don't want to join, you should check out the website because it's got lots of information for you. The next one I would recommend is the Quebec E-Society, Genealogical E-Society. I'm also a member of that. Lots of great resources that now on that site, and they recently, if you remember, there's a lot more access to things, so check that out, please. Then we have Nos Origines, number 3, which is a fabulous site, free, and is kind of a user, kind of user-friendly in the sense of an user donated. It's like a group project, really, really good. We have Généalogie Québec, which is a paid site, and it really is the Quebec, you know, version of Ancestry, if you will. Fabulous, worth every penny. Then we have Migration, which is not a paid site, but I contribute, you know, every month or so. I give them money because I'm just so grateful that they do what they do. Really is everything you ever wanted to know about Les Filles du Roi and all the rest of it. And then, of course, last but not least, we have the Facebook group, Filles du Roi Descendants, fabulous site as well. Check that out. I've listed all of the links for you in the page notes. And with that, we end our episode number 101 of Marguerite De Haye. I think she lived a remarkable life in that she was a tower of strength and was able to not only make her way from place Saint-Ours, which must have been out in the middle of nowhere at the time, and then move her whole family to Contrecoeur, lose her husband shortly after, and then continue on until she knew that her family was safe. So a true woman of substance is our Marguerite De Haye. We thank her for her contribution and we bless her memory. Until I see you next time on episode number 102, au revoir.